Our first scripture lesson today are words from the prophet Isaiah, from the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
You know, even though this is the season of waiting, most of us don't like to wait. We like the convenience of microwave meals, call-ahead seating, and Amazon Prime next-day delivery. Although we may not like it, life is full of waiting. And during times of waiting, we often wonder what God is up to. Zechariah knew what it was like to wait. He and his wife, Elizabeth, had waited their whole lives for a son. His story is found in the first chapter of Luke. Listen now for God's word from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abinadab. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blameless lives, according to all the commandments and the regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both of them were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered and heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink, even before his birth. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." And the angel replied to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace that I have endured among my people." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jerusalem temple was just about all that Zechariah knew. He was a 14th generation priest descended from the line of Aaron. The day that it happened was one of the two times of a year when incense would be offered in the most sacred place in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was believed to reside. This honor was given to the priest who God chose through the drawing of lots. And on that day, Zechariah was chosen. This was surely the pinnacle of Zechariah's priestly service. With the multitudes praying for him outside as he entered the temple alone and as he approached the altar, in a great flash of light, the angel Gabriel appeared and said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth will bear a son. He will be called John. The child will bring joy and gladness. He will serve the Lord and turn many to God, and the spirit of Elijah will be upon him." We've heard this story before, at least other versions of it. We hear echoes of Zechariah and Elizabeth's story in the story of the miracles that God worked out for Abraham and Sarah, for Jacob and Rachel, and for Elkanah and Hannah. All were elderly couples getting on in years, and they had no children, and they were granted a child in the twilight and the autumn of their lives. But Zechariah and Elizabeth's story has a new and a perplexing twist. Did you catch it? In verse 20, Gabriel said to Zechariah, "But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." What are we to make of this? A member of the church that I served in Gainesville, Florida, had made this beautiful, cruel stitchery, and it was sitting at the outside of her door, and it said, "Lord, keep an arm around my shoulder and a hand over my mouth." There are times in life when silence is truly golden. Often it's much better to wait and think things through before speaking, after we have all the facts. As Abraham Lincoln once said, "It's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and say something and prove it." And of course, there are times when we should keep holy silence, especially when we don't know the answers to God's mysteries. We shouldn't pretend like we do or supplement what we may actually know, or when we try to explain events that are truly beyond our understanding. We should probably be quiet. If Zechariah hadn't have been struck mute, what words in the whole world would have been adequate to describe what he had experienced? And the bigger question is, how might those words have been received by the people that he told them to? If you remember, the people laughed at Noah when Noah told the people that God told him and called him to build an ark. Can you imagine the response that old Zechariah would have endured if he told everyone that not any angel, but the archangel Gabriel had appeared to him and told him that he and Elizabeth in their old age were going to be parents? If that wasn't enough, that was just part of the proclamation. Gabriel had also said that their promised son was destined to turn many people to God, and that their son would have the power and the spirit of not just any prophet, but the prophet Elijah, who was the greatest prophet in the whole entire history of the Israel, people of Israel. Now, if Zechariah had shared that, most likely he would have been a laughingstock, or even worse, he probably would have been pitied because people would have thought that he would be losing it. The angelic announcement to Gabriel is the very first epiphany recorded in Luke's gospel, and then we know another one, and that one is the more well-known one, and that is the announcement of Gabriel to Mary, foretelling of Jesus' birth. Scholars like to compare and contrast these two announcements, and most of the time when they do, Mary comes out as the faithful one, and poor Zechariah, he comes out as the faithless one. Mary's response when she was told that she was going to bear God's son was, "How can this be, for I am a virgin?" While Zechariah asks, "How will I know this?" Is Zechariah struck mute as a punishment because his response showed a lack of faith? How could that be? Zechariah and Elizabeth had been faithful all of their lives. In verse 6 of this morning's reading, we are told both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. I think Zechariah's ability to respond to Gabriel is just remarkable. It's surprising to me that he just didn't have a heart attack on the spot. As terrifying and confusing as his encounter with Gabriel must have been, Zechariah has the presence of mind and the courage to gird his loins and ask a question that seems to me to be quite reasonable. How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years. For me, it's a question of faith seeking understanding. It's a question that says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." To understand his temporary lack of speech as a punishment is, I believe, to misunderstand the gift of faith and the nature of God. Scripture teaches that our God is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and Psalm 25 puts it this way, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep God's decrees." Would our loving God really punish Zechariah for not having enough faith? As Presbyterians, we believe that faith is a gift, and as such, there is nothing that we can do to manufacture more faith. Zechariah could not make himself believe what he had been told any more than I could will myself into having the gifts of an NFL football player. Yes, Zechariah's muteness could have helped him treasure and measure his words. Yes, his muteness could have protected him from ridicule. But best of all, God granted what Zechariah requested. When Zechariah asked, "How will I know?" in time, God answered by making good on the promise to give he and Elizabeth a son, and John the Baptist was born. And Zechariah's voice was restored just as he was promised as well. His temporary muteness was the means of confirmation and then the restoration of his voice that he had asked for. Through that experience, Zechariah's faith grew, and it moved him from holy silence to joyous praise. If we look later on in the first chapter of Luke, we hear him praise the Lord, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people, and God has redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. And you, child, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace." Our God is always working for our highest good. Sometimes God's plans include times of waiting. Times of waiting are far from wasted time. When we trust God throughout the unknown, God can use those times to prepare us to accept the new gift that God wants to give to us, and oftentimes to help us grow in our faith. Through his time of waiting, Zechariah was able to understand the part his promised son John would play in God's plan. He would be the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. Through his time of waiting, Zechariah moved from holy silence to praise. Perhaps God knew that Zechariah would need a larger measure of faith for what eventually came next. Not only did a sword pierce Mary's heart when she watched the life drain out of her son, Jesus, as he died on the cross, Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, would be imprisoned and beheaded for speaking out against the Emperor Herod. What parent, I ask you, could endure such unspeakable pain without the knowledge that their child's life and ministry had not been in vain? Our God is the giver of all good gifts. I believe Zechariah's inability to speak was a blessing. Just as Elizabeth's body was being used as an instrument for God's purposes in the nurturing of John the Baptist, God was busy bringing new life and increased faith to Zechariah. This was a blessing that taught Zechariah to cherish the gift of speech. His temporary inability to speak was a blessing that protected him from possible ridicule and having to explain something that he did not fully understand. But most of all, Zechariah's time of waiting was the vehicle by which God increased Zechariah's faith, moving him from holy silence to praise. What are you waiting for? The results from a medical test? Perhaps a retirement to begin? Your body to heal? Perhaps you're waiting for a relationship to reconcile, a deep hurt to be healed, a decision to be made. If you are in a time of waiting, and who isn't, take heart. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. So the next time you find yourself in a time of waiting, trust in God's timing. Your time of waiting could just be the means to bring increased blessings and joy. Amen. I want to remind you that we will have a time of fellowship immediately following the service. And I also want to remind you that you have a choice to make each and every day, whether to achieve your life or whether to receive your life. If you choose to achieve your life, your constant companion will be complaint, because you will never be able to achieve enough. But if you choose with open hands to receive your life, your constant companion will be gratitude for all that God is achieving in your life. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with mercy and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.